This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Steve Hansen. He is the National Safety Committee Chairman for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Steve, there was some news earlier this week that operational errors are up at towers and centers all over the country. But according to NATCA and the FAA, there's a good reason for that. Can you explain?
Yeah, I mean, over the past 3 or 4 years, we've been rolling out, a voluntary safety reporting program, which provides controllers a safe avenue to report these errors that may have gone unreported previously. And not only that, but the FAA has been rolling out new automation that measures and alerts on aircraft that get too close together that previously may have gone unreported, because one, controllers can't see a tenth of a mile on the radar, or for some other reason they may not have seen it. So
there's and a tenth of a mile on a 3 mile separation is, like, that's possible.
Right.
Or even
human
common,
eyes
right?
Can't see that.
Okay, so let's go through the numbers. We had 44 Category A errors, which means, in the public's mind, that airplanes were ready to bang together. What does it really mean?
Well, it means, I mean, there's different categories, A, B, C. Category A, they got the closest together. Some of those are serious, and they need to be looked at and dissected and figure out what we can do to avoid them in the future. There's no question about that. Other ones, they may have been just compression on final that isn't as serious, but because of the amount of separation that they lost, they are still categorized as an A error. But understand that 44 out of 130 million over the year, you're still, you have a very good rate, very safe mode of transportation, and but we do need to look at them. There's no question about it.
Okay, the other number is about 1,800 operational errors, and that's up 81% over 2007, which I guess is the benchmark. What does that mean? That's just a reflection of the new system?
I think it's a reflection of trust in the system. You went up from 2007 to 2010 from 1,000 roughly to about 1,800 roughly. And that does show an increase of 81%. I think it's about 50% from last year. And that, I believe it really shows that we're more comfortable in what we're doing. It's a more honest look at what's actually going on in the system. And I think that's what we really want. We want the ability to see what's actually going on in the system to be able to fix those issues.
Well, why couldn't we see what was actually going on in the system before? What's changed?
What's changed is under the old, the previous 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and prior to that, I mean, just going back to the inception of air traffic control, it's always been a blame system to where if you're involved, something's going to happen to you, whether that's decertification, whether it's discipline, or whether all those have impacts to your income. This new system has created a process that's fair and non-punitive and allows us to trust the system, the reporting system, much better.
When you say it's non-punitive, does that mean that controllers essentially don't get blamed or don't have to accept responsibility for errors? Like, how does that work?
No, it doesn't. There's still accountability. We are still responsible for the safety of the system, and we take that very seriously. It is not meant to be and shouldn't be treated as a get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, there's still training that occurs. There's still discussions that occur. There's review of the events that occur. All these things still occur, and if it's purely a conduct issue, then it's not accepted into this program.
Okay, well, what about the change in demographics in the controller ranks? A lot of trainees have been hired. Could the lack of experience be responsible for some of the increase?
I would say that the lack of experience, they're trained. By the time they get trained, they're fully certified and should be able to handle the same traffic. I don't know to what extent that is playing into it, but I would imagine that lack of experience does play into it to some degree.
What's the future look like for this program and for the continued sort of honest reporting of errors?
I mean, I would say the airlines have had these sort of programs, ASAP, Aviation Safety Action Programs, or Awareness Programs, whatever their specific name is, for since early 1990s and on. We've had NASA ASRS, which is a similar program since 1970s. I think the future is very bright. It all depends on, to me, it is very dependent on the agency's ability to address the issues that are identified. And if they, I think as long as we hold them accountable to addressing the issues that are identified, then I think it's got a very bright future.
Okay, well, while I've got you on the line, what's the number one thing that could improve air traffic safety if you could just push a button tomorrow? What would you do?
If I had to choose one thing, I would say improved training, whether it's recurring, initial. OJT training has always been very good. You're on the position working the traffic with somebody very qualified sitting right behind you. But if I had my choice, it would be improving initial and recurring training throughout your career.
Well, we appreciate your time today, Steve. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.